Greetings and welcome to, you know what, due to the live episode, which failed miserably, I don't remember what number we're on.
10.
Oh, thank you, Waffles. You remembered. That's right. You know, I forgot. I promised you could host a show after you covered the news for me on Monday. Maybe I'll let you host the next podcast. That should be fun. Anyway, welcome to the Pinstripe Alley podcast, the Yankee podcast, which fails at live broadcasting, but somewhat succeeds at actually putting out a podcast. I'm giving you a raise, your host for this evening, or night. It's almost morning, actually. And with us today is, of course, What Would Jeter Do? And Lord Duggan. And we have a special guest today joining us, Jedi Master A-Rod. See, Duggan, that wasn't a mouthful. It just flows off the tongue.
I bet that it does.
It does.
I don't know whether to be offended by that or.
But yes, Jedi will.
I'm not offended. I'm just impressed.
Oh, there you go. Jedi will be joining us for this podcast, and we hope to bring you, I don't know, Yankee stuff.
More and better content. That's what we're bringing.
Exactly.
Well, I look at it this way. The less I have to talk, because since I really do consider myself the Michael Kay of the group, I think the better off the podcast is, where you have actual, you know, stat experts and people who know what the hell they're talking about. So I think this podcast is the better for it right now. So, how are you? How is everyone doing today? And all respond at once. Try to.
1, 2, 3.
All right.
There's that miserable failure again.
Yes. Blank noise, except for Waffles counting down. All right, I'll have to go in order here. Waffles, how are you doing this week?
Wondrous.
All right. Duggan, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Jedi, how are you doing?
Absolutely awesome.
There we go. Pleasantries out of the way. Let's get right into This Week in Pinstripes. And, of course, that means Last Week in Pinstripes, where the Yankees faced the Rangers at the ballpark in Arlington and then came home to face the Detroit Tigers. So, it's kind of an interesting series. You saw some pretty decent pitching, and I saw live some horrendous pitching. So let's begin with the pitching last week. Jedi, since you're new, we'll start with you. What did you think of the pitching last week?
Well, I think you pretty much covered it, up and down, pretty much, and really kind of caught me off guard going to me first. So.
That's what this podcast is all about, catching my co-hosts off guard.
I mean, the only real story to talk about is Freddy, it seems like, and they finally did the right thing and got him out of the rotation. It was too long coming. Phelps was pitching too well out of the bullpen not to stay there. Everybody keeps saying that all Phelps has to do is pretty much be better than Freddie. I don't necessarily agree that Phelps just has to be better than Freddie. He pitched to a 12 ERA. So if Phelps goes out, I think it was Mike from River Ave said if he goes out there and throws a 10 ERA, that's still pretty terrible. That's not getting the job done. I mean, if he can pitch something, just a little bit less than Kuroda, that'll be acceptable. I don't have the highest expectations for him.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I'm excited to see him start because I always love seeing, we saw DJ Mitchell tonight, even though it's, not technically part of the podcast discussion. But, it's still exciting to see minors come up, people you think can be starters, and, you hope they do well. But I agree with you. I think my expectations are a bit tempered. But I'm excited for the most part.
But it was good to see DJ come up. I still haven't gotten a chance to go back and watch the game. I was out at the Empire State game tonight. I saw DJ pitch here earlier this year. He looked great. I'm glad he's finally getting a chance, even if it is just the long relief role. I mean, never know what you're going to get with Hughes, so we could see a lot of DJ coming up. So
very, very true. Duggan, your thoughts on the pitching this week?
Definitely some up and down, like everyone has said. Kuroda pitched beautifully in the Darvish game, and it was kind of overshadowed by Darvish pitching so well. CeCe's had a few nice starts. So, you know, there's definitely things to be happy about.
I'll say this. I at my job, I was watching the I had to watch the Darvish game against the Blue Jays on Monday. My God, his stuff is just nasty at times. It's really just I really hope he does well in the, you know, major leagues, because he looks like he's got it going. But so going back to the pitching, what were you saying?
Oh, just that, you know, CeCe had pitched well as well. We now presumably do not have to watch Freddy Garcia start anymore for a little while, and we'll have Andy back soon, which is kind of exciting. It means whoever is shittier between Phelps and Hughes can get the axe, most likely.
Most likely, yeah. I'll say this, I feel the same way about Andy as I do about Phelps. I mean, I love Andy Pettit. I grew up watching him pitch for so long, and he's one of my favorite Yankee pitchers of all time. But my expectations are also tempered because he is 40 years old, Andy Pettit.
He's 40 years old. He didn't pitch all of last season, and I mean, he had a pretty good season the year before he retired. But it was also injury shortened, and I mean, he also had some down seasons before that. So I would expect to see Andy throwing in the mid-80s, you know, kind of putting a lot of runners on base and then trying to pitch out of it. I don't think we're going to see him doing a lot of dominating or anything. I think we're going to see him throw a 4.5 ERA and try to keep the team in the game. And, you know, and I think there's also no guarantee that he stays healthy for very long. So yeah, I mean, like you, I'm excited to see him because I like him, and I think that maybe there is lightning in a bottle to catch with him, but there's no real reason to expect that he's going to come in and be more than a back-end starter.
Yeah, agreed. I'll tell you this, though. If he picks someone off like I always loved watching, I'll be very happy.
What game did you go to?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I went to the Saturday game against the Tigers where Freddy Garcia started.
Oh, I see.
Yes. And quickly, I just want to give a shout-out to both longtime listener and his brother, because I went with longtime listener, member of PSA.
Oh, you guys had a date.
Oh, we did. We had a nacho date, as we called.
Oh, God.
That's sweet.
And it is. You know, the nachos at Yankee Stadium, they're just Tostitos with whatever you want on them. They're not terrible, but for $8.50, you get a decent amount. I'll say that. Anyway,
they actually label them properly at Yankee Stadium.
I saw that picture you tweeted.
I don't apostrophe even know what to say. Are you like, how do I don't understand how people continually get
these off. Chips belong to a Mexican guy named Nacho, and he will give them to you.
Yeah,
that was great. I love that photo. But yeah, so shout out to him because his brother was at the game. I mean, we were in the upper deck in the slums, and his brother was down in the behind home plate, pretty much, in the $240 seats. I still have that ticket. And two of his brother's friends didn't show up, so we went down there and enjoyed those seats, and that was pretty good. But enough about shout-outs. Waffles, what did you think of the pitching last week, this week, whatever?
I won't be sad if I don't have to see Freddy Garcia pitch like he did.
Try seeing it live.
Ugh, no thank you. If I'd paid money...
Were you booing very loudly?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was honestly... When I boo like that, I'm booing not really at the player, more at Girardi for... I mean, granted, I understand he has to shuffle him out there, but, I mean, I just hate the fact
that... He doesn't have to leave him out there when he's throwing in the upper 60s and just... like, hanging everything over the plate.
I mean, it's not a warm game, and he can't give me two innings. So, yeah, I'm in the mood to boo.
Yeah.
But continuing on with the pitching, Waffles.
I think that David Robertson has looked amazing.
Yeah, I bet
was it really sure? Oh, okay. I wasn't really sure if he could kind of keep up what he did last year, and I mean, I'm still not really, but he's looked really good so far this year, so.
Yeah, he has. Mo's been pretty Mo, you know, except for that first game, he's been pretty solid. I'll say this, Kuroda, yeah, like Duggan was saying earlier, the game against Darvish and then his last outing, Kuroda, well, we can't really talk about that, but Kuroda has looked, you know, all right. Yeah, Hughes, I don't know what they're going to do with him. What he showed me, I can't talk about that yet.
We can, it doesn't matter.
You're right, who cares. What Hughes showed me tonight is more or less that he has the stuff. I mean, I didn't get to see the game fully because I was working, so I had it on the MLB TV box, but from what I saw, most of his strikeouts were due to not throwing a fastball. So he has the stuff. He just, I don't know why he just doesn't trust it.
I mean, he, even though tonight's results were a little better than they have been, it was still just like prototypical Hughes. Like, he would get two strikes and then he couldn't put them away and they would foul off a ton of pitches. And then, you know, there was a 382 foot flyout. And it's like, oh, he didn't give up any runs. But it's like, yeah, but he threw 25 pitches.
And some of them were really hard hit.
And, I mean, he has struck out more, which is good. But, you know, I saw at least a couple tonight where the strikeout, he would just miss his spot terribly. And the batter would swing, which, I mean, I guess is good for Hughes. But it's still not, you know.
It's not starter worthy.
Idealistic pitching.
No, it's at this point, it's, I don't think it's starter worthy. It's might be bullpen worthy again. I'm, you know, despite what someone said in the thread today, but despite what a lot of people say in the threads during the game, you know, no one's rooting for Hughes to fail. He just doesn't.
Absolutely not.
He just doesn't show. I mean, I was hoping for him to do so well this year, and he just doesn't show me that he can be a starter at all.
I had a lot of high hopes for him after spring training because in spring training he did look really good. But, I mean, at what point do you just say, like, he can't do this?
At what point do you say, hey, DJ Mitchell, we're going to give you a shot, you know? Maybe you'll be the next Ivan Nova or something.
I can answer that. Never.
Oh, okay.
We are talking about the Yankees here. You have to remember that prospects are trade chips. They are not to be used in actual games.
Oh, I know. I agree. I mean, we can't bring up Dwayne Wise, even though we are desperate for an outfielder.
Yeah, can we talk about the outfield?
Yes.
Can somebody fill me in on what happened with Nunez? I saw tweets about it. I didn't see the game.
He missed a ball, but he didn't, you know.
It was a rookie mistake for someone who's never played left field before. I mean, I don't even think the play, from what I saw, was Ibanez bad or laughable.
It wasn't.
It takes a lot to be that, though.
I agree.
Was it a catchable ball? Yes. Would Gardner have called it, like, five times?
Without a question.
Yes.
Without a question.
But, like, it was not Ibanez bad.
See, if it's a tracking problem, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there.
It looked like he had it, and then he just didn't.
That's the thing. Like, when you see Ibanez out there, it seems like he can track the ball, and then when it actually gets to him, it's a mess. Like, he blacks out, and then the ball's behind him, and the runner's on third base.
That one error, what was it, Monday? Oh, yeah, no, Monday.
Leaped to the wall, and the ball still missed his glove.
That
was yesterday.
That's catchable. That's a catchable ball. I just lost it when I saw that. I was at work, too, and, you know, I kind of have to keep my voice down, but thankfully I'm among, like, other sports fans, so I can get away with it, but I lost it. It's like, that's catchable, you sack. Oh, my.
Like, what? I don't
Silver lining, can we all appreciate Brett Gardner's defense just a little bit more now?
You know no one appreciates everything about Brett Gardner more than me. I love his defense.
But really, like, really, Eduardo Nunez is not an outfielder.
No.
He's not.
No, he's
faking. Raul Ibanez is supposed to be something that resembles an outfielder.
He's not.
And I don't understand how he has played this long in his career in the outfield and someone hasn't been like, hey, buddy, maybe you shouldn't, like, throw yourself into the air at balls that you can't catch.
The idea is to stop the ball from going to the wall.
No,
can I just say, like, that the idea of somebody saying that to Ibanez in that voice is just awesome.
I agree.
And just Girardi going up to him, hey, buddy. Stop sliding in front of the ball. Just let it bounce. A single is way better than a three base error.
No, he has to like try to roll on the ground and
I don't think he's trying to. I just think he does.
And that's what pisses me off about the official scoring too. He has no errors when they're clearly errors. These are I don't care what you the whole it doesn't touch the glove rule. One, it should touch his glove. And two, when it doesn't, and it clearly should be catchable, give him an error. I mean, it's laughable that, Nunez got an error for that, which he, pretty much rightfully deserved. But Ibanez has no errors.
Here's a thought. Yeah. Put something really sharp in like, his shirt or something. And just say, look, if you dive, you're going to, like, slice the shit out of your stomach. So... Don't trip, and you're not allowed to dive anymore. Just, give him a little incentive.
I suck.
I like it. I like it.
Thirded. All right. Well,
throw a razor down his shirt and just say, you want to dive now? Just keep on your feet and keep everything in front of you.
I mean, I'm fine with Jones out there playing backup, but we clearly need another outfielder. It's laughable at this point that... they don't care about outfield defense when it is costing us runs. I mean, it's not like, it's just a single error. Someone winds up on first or something like that, and then we get a ground ball double play. These errors are costing us runs.
Someone in the thread yesterday said that in the pregame, Joe Girardi, I'm pretty sure, was saying how, like...
Oh, that was me.
The outfielders weren't, like, turning singles into triples, and I was like, is he drunk?
That was me. I was watching the postgame. Like, and they were doing a special on the Yankees defense, and he was mainly talking about Granderson, Swisher, and Gardner, they don't turn, singles into triples, and that's what I found so laughable. It's like, then why are you shuffling out these chumps?
Kind of
care that much about
there.
Defense? Call up an outfielder. What actually upset me?
How many days until Gardner's back? Isn't he back in two or 3 days or something?
Well, they said today that he is doubtful for Thursday. So that's Greg weeping. I read something today that said that he was doubtful for Thursday, which was the day that he's eligible to come off with the disabled list.
I mean, I pretty much cry when I go to a game live and I don't see him out there.
And Swisher might be out until next Tuesday.
Call up an outfielder. From what I understand, there are plenty of people we can put on the disabled list.
Well, I think they said that
the
reason...
Is Wise on the 40?
No. But there are like 3 people who could be 60-day DL'd. But someone said that like if we bring up Wise, once he gets sent back down, he'd have to clear waivers.
He doesn't have an option. He doesn't have another option to go back down. He'd have to go through waivers. And at this point, if... The way he's been hitting in the minors, I doubt he'd clear.
Yeah.
But we doubted that Dickerson would clear. Someone would take a flyer on him, and he somehow made it back.
Okay. He must be hurt, right? Or else I have to think he would be.
He is hurt.
He is still hurt. And
he's not on the 40 either.
No, he's not. He's walking around the dugout with a modified fat suit on. I'm not joking about this. He's like wearing ice packs under layers of like ace bandages. Under his jacket, he looks like he's wearing a Santa outfit.
If you could get a photo of that, that would be
I absolutely
great.
Could if there because wasn't a horde of middle-aged autograph seekers hanging over the railing.
Because
all points during the game.
Fat Dickerson jokes would be fantastic.
Well, maybe when they trot him out the first base coach, maybe then I could snap.
The only two outfielders on the 40 are Zoilo and Melky Mesa. Aside from the ones that are, like, here now.
Well,
unless you're Lefty Mop, you're not going to be coming up from Trent to the bullpen.
Yeah. Unless you're Steve Garrison.
Or Pope.
That's necessary.
Can
How
just
is
be...
Pope still a thing? Like, can anybody tell me?
At least he's not on the 40 anymore. That's just one thing standing in the way.
See, you guys know so much more than me. This is the best podcast ever. All right. On to the hitting of last week. It wasn't
Russell Martin.
I know.
That's why Girardi can't see the outfield. He is too busy staring at Russell Martin.
Well, catching defense is the only defense that man.
Yeah,
cares
when
about.
Did that become a thing? That catching defense is incredibly important, but we will have no problem having our corner outfielders as Ibanez and Eduardo Nunez.
It's laughably sickening.
He said the other day in a press conference, he was like, I always tell my catchers, like, your offense is second. Like, it's okay, just save us some runs. And it's like, yeah, they're saving us some runs, all right, every time they hit into a double play to end an inning.
You know, is he saying this with his arms wrapped around him? The way that sounds, is he's just gently holding them as they weep in their locker.
And he DH'd Russell Martin. Like, he actively worked to get Russell Martin into the lineup tonight.
That is Mariners stuff, like when they DH Olivo.
And then that's
a completely different situation, though, because they have no one else to put there. He actively decided, yes, Russell Martin is my hitter.
Yeah.
And then hooked Stewart so that we lost the DH.
Which was...
unreal.
I don't even understand. It was like, this is real. But you're going to lose the DH.
Can the Stewart thing stop? Can it please stop?
CC is obsessed with him. It's weird.
But he's not his personal catcher.
But he's obsessed.
But he's going to catch all of his starts.
But he's not his personal catcher, guys.
I mean, I kind of understand it. If you trot him out there, you kind of assume that CC's going to be on, and you won't need Chris Stewart to do anything. But on the off chance that everyone else in the lineup doesn't do anything, and you're relying on Chris Stewart to pick them up.
But isn't Chris Stewart hitting as well or better than Martin?
He has something like half of Martin's hits in like three starts.
Yeah. Russ, you're
maybe,
killing
maybe,
me.
Maybe he just feels Stewart calls a better game.
I want to believe in my heart that if Russell Martin does this all season, that at least it will mean that they won't like back the dunk truck of money up to his front door.
No, it won't.
But I don't know that that's true.
They love his defense. He calls a good game. Why get rid of him? Why?
It hurts.
I'm going to make this point. How many championships did we win with Jorge Posada playing catcher, Derek Jeter playing shortstop, and Bernie Williams playing center field? That's all of them terribly, and those are the three most important defensive positions.
That's my whole point.
Oh, you and your facts.
That's my whole point with... why I felt they should have, you know, had Montero behind the plate. It's like, is his defense going to be so bad where his offense, like Posada's, isn't going to make up for it?
No. The answer is no.
Yeah, of course not, because that would make freaking sense. I mean, yeah, Jeter, he has 3,000 plus hits. That's why we put up with his lack of range. Posada, he was a terrible defensive catcher, but he's Hall of Fame worthy hitting, possibly. So who cares about catcher defense?
I mean, if they are just like the worst possible thing you can imagine on defense, maybe. Like,
you mean like
Ibanez.
Like Ibanez. Like, yes. Like, if they were, you know, just the most dreadful defender that has ever been in the major leagues, like, okay, whatever. But, you know, Montero was fine. And the Mariners fans, like, every time you go read Lookout Landing when he catches, they're like, he's fine. Like, what is all of this? He's fine.
Maybe
that's because they've had to deal with Miguel Olivo. Whatever.
I've had to watch Miguel Olivo too. Let me tell you this. When you have to watch the Mariners offense like I did last year at night at 10 o'clock, mind you, I get paid more for 10 o'clock games, but when you have to watch it and you just see how bad it is, the only saving grace is that it might be so bad that I get out of there faster. But sometimes it's so bad where I'm there longer. I mean, it was awful. So,
what they did to Felix last night was a crime.
what they always do to Felix is a crime.
Valid.
But I'll say this though, back to the hitting quickly. Yeah, I mean Jeter and Swish have really been, you know, that's what makes the Swish injury so painful, I think, because Swisher is one of, you know, Yankees' best hitters recently. Granderson's just, you know, he seems to have his stroke back, which is good.
He murdered that baseball tonight.
He's murdered a few baseballs lately. I mean, he's tied with, I believe last I saw tonight, he's tied with Hamilton and maybe someone else for the AL leading. Of course,
I think so.
No one's above Matt Kemp because Matt Kemp is really good at baseball.
Well, we're not worthy of Matt Kemp. When we're on the Granderson subject, can we just talk about Austin Jackson's near catch for a second?
Oh, yeah.
He dropped it over the wall, but I was at work when that play happened. I jumped out of my chair and screamed, holy shit, as loud as possible. It was seriously unbelievable that he even came close to catching that.
The only
thing stopping it was a bar from the bleachers.
Yeah, if he hadn't smacked his glove against that, I think he catches it.
I was logging that game for work on Sunday, and for a time I didn't know what to send. I was like, did he catch that? That's one of the greatest. I was like, holy shit, that was one of the great. No, it dropped it. Wow. I was like, because that was one of the. If he caught that, it's one of the greatest catches I've ever seen in baseball history. That was incredible.
Ball's tailing away from him, and he still ranges over and is able to go over the wall and track it. There's your difference between Ibanez and Austin. Yeah, I'm going to make that leap. I'm going to the evil Knievel leap of Austin Jackson to Raul Ibanez. That's tracking and still actually making a play on the ball.
That's like the difference on the electromagnetic spectrum.
The ball would have ended up in the left field bleachers with Ibanez in center jumping the wall.
What was that one game where the ball, it was a home run. And it went about two rows deep, so it could have presumably not been a home run. And Ibanez was underneath it, and he just smashed into the wall. He just ran full speed right into the wall.
Man, we could really.
Oh, it was a double, wasn't it? It hit the top of the wall, but Ibanez ran straight into the wall before the ball even got there. The ball hadn't even reached the warning track, and Ibanez ran face first into the wall.
We could really make a whole podcast just insulting Ibanez. Maybe
section on Lookout Landing for it, and it's probably my favorite section on SB Nation.
You know what? Maybe if we have some extra time, we'll just devote a one Pinstripe Alley podcast to how awful Raul Ibanez is. But, all right, I think that's enough Yankee talk, unless anyone else has anything they want to add. Anyone?
Not really.
Jedi? Anything? Waffles?
Mm-mm.
No, I want spring training A-Rod back. That's about it.
Yeah. I wouldn't... Cano has just seemed
unlucky. Oh, that too. Yeah.
Yeah,
defense has been bad too.
Yeah.
Well, weird.
What sucks is, sometimes he gets hard hits. They're just... I just see them going right at people. But I have a little faith that Cano will bring it back together.
He's had a few plays at second base where, the throw has come in and beat the runner.
And he just
and he drops it.
Yeah, those are pretty... Ugh.
Weird.
Let's just forget about the Yankees' defense. Let's move on to this week in baseball. And, trying to transition from Cano, how about the Angels? What a start.
Pujols didn't hit any home runs in April, which I find hilarious.
I think he'll turn it around, but...
He will, but that will live forever.
Right now, he's 2011 Adam Dunning it. And Adam Dunn has surprisingly turned it around, it seems.
And he got pissed at one of their coaches.
I saw that tweet from Heyman.
Who hold in?
Yeah, they...
What did he do?
He said they were in, a team meeting, and Pujols, apologized to the team and said that, he wouldn't be so awful forever. And apparently one of the coaches, told the media what he said. And he got really upset about it.
You know who wouldn't do that? Jeff Mathis. And Lyle Spencer is on it.
I got to watch Jeff Mathis tonight too. Oh my God! I can't thank Brett Lowry enough for that walk off home run.
While we're on the subject, for the record, Jeff Mathis 2 home runs. Albert Pujols has 0.
And while we're still on that record, someone go and look at the numbers and let me know what the Angels' winning percentage is with Albert Pujols and what the Angels' winning percentage is with Jeff Mathis. Case closed. Case closed.
So what you're saying is the curse of Jeff Mathis lives on.
Mathis is superior, clearly.
It's a superior pitch framing and pitch calling is what I'm saying.
I wonder if Socha just, like, cries himself to sleep every night.
What, when he let Mike Napoli go like an idiot?
No.
Oh. For Vernon Wells? let's never forget that. The fact the Blue Jays were actually able to unload Vernon Wells.
Bravo, Blue Jays.
And also, then they flipped Mike Napoli for a closer.
Frank.
Yeah, they flipped him for Frank.
Proven closers.
Like, as awesome as it was to get rid of Vernon Wells, that was...
The proven closer narrative is being blown up pretty quickly this year.
Heath Bell is terrible.
Oh, man.
Francisco,
what about the Marlins? What is wrong with them?
Well, many things.
Other than their ballpark and everything associated with it.
Yeah, I was about to say many things right now from my view.
Stanton finally hit a dinger. Finally.
Right. There you go.
But everything else is a dumpster fire down there.
He didn't move it far enough left. He needs to hit that.
Just I don't take know. It out.
What is it? Do we call it a fountain? What is it?
I like someone called it like an acid trip.
That whole stadium is an acid trip.
I like the term
abomination. There's fish in the walls and lime green fences.
I agree. I hate those fences. I really do.
I hate that whole ballpark. It's...
I don't mind.
Well, someone's going to get mad. It's eye rape. I don't care. It is.
I'm mad. Awful.
I'm sure you are. It is horrible to watch games in that park because my TV hates it.
Oh,
especially when they break out the orange uniforms.
Oh. Yeah. Ugh. And Heath Bell, like, they just keep putting him out there, and he just keeps being terrible.
I have to assume Loria has like stock in 3D television or the next wave of whatever television is going to come out, because their stadium is the thing that's going to ruin high definition. It's going to, people's TVs are just going to burn out across the country watching them.
Yeah. No, it's painful. I mean, I like the outside look of the stadium. Oh, wait, no, they showed the previous Orange Bowl things, art decoed around the stadium, which I said was hideous. Ugh. Yeah, no, screw Marlins Park.
Matt Kemp.
Yeah.
I don't even.
We don't even need to say anything. Just Matt Kemp.
I don't even.
Awesome. Can I just, while we're on the subject of Matt Kemp, MVP chance in April is
that's got to stop. That needs to stop.
Just stop doing that for everything, Los Angeles.
I'll be quite honest. The Donnie baseball fan in me is rooting for the Dodgers to win the NL West, but. Yeah, Matt Kemp's awesome.
On the subject of MVP, Ryan Braun, whatever you did last night, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, damn.
Three home runs.
I mean,
and a triple.
And in Petco, like that is.
Yes, that was.
Not, I don't even.
That is not a hitter's ballpark in the.
The best part about it was the Padres announcers. After he hit his third home run, they just sat there in silence, and then as they're rolling the replay, the first thing they say is, why? they're talking about, it's like, do you walk Ryan Braun? And then he hits it, they call it, and then they watch the replay. Why? Why do you pitch to him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder why people pitch to Kemp.
If we're going to talk about the Padres, can somebody tell me, name me one power hitter on that team?
Yolanda, what was his name? Alonzo. Yonder.
Yonder Alonzo.
Alonzo.
Yonder Alonzo of 0 home runs.
Yeah, that's stretching. I really can't. I just remember the name from me logging them. They're abysmal. That offense is laughable.
At some point, it's not even Petco. They have no power hitters on that team. Every team seems to have one. Like even guys that can just like run into one, like a Mark Reynolds, that'll just run into one on an off chance occasionally, but. they just don't.
Or just like a catcher who's fat and strong, and if he hits a fastball on the nose, it's a home run.
Well, they kind of. Well, I guess Nick Hundley kind of counts as that, but like, I mean, Chase Headley's a good enough hitter, but I mean, he's not. He doesn't have like the typical power for a third baseman.
Also, on the just to switch to power hitters, there is no easy out in the Rangers' offense.
If you are batting Mike Napoli eighth, just stop. Just quit. Go away. I don't want to see you.
They're just so good. That offense is just monstrous.
It's scary.
Yeah, they're going to score a lot of runs.
Yeah. I mean, in that ballpark alone, but...
Their leadoff hitter is going to hit close to 30 home runs again.
He will
remain nameless because I don't want to go off on a 5-minute tangent on him.
Would you like to? We could talk about the adorable little Stripe Valley podcast.
We could dedicate an entire podcast to how awesome Ian Kinsler is. But
someone mail this man a towel.
Just get the hose. See, this is what we were afraid of.
Yes.
If we get into Ian Kinsler talk, then it's just going to go off the rails.
Hey, I wept when talking about Gardner, so you can cry.
Well, that's true.
You're talking about Kinsler. Go right ahead.
On the subject of Ian Kinsler, there's no way that I can allow them to keep Kinsler, Profar, and Elvis. That can't happen.
No. I don't know what they do. Like, if I don't know how they would actually make that work, unless they would try Profar at third and maybe keep Beltre for a while as a DH, but even then, that wouldn't be fair.
They were talking about putting Kinsler as a corner outfielder and then putting Profar at second.
But Kinsler's really good at second. I mean, that would be just a shame.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's not only a good hitting, second baseman, he's really, I've seen him.
Rangers fans, like, hate on him. If you follow Adam Morris from Lone Star Ball, like, he gets hate tweets constantly.
How do you
if Kinsler strikes out, he'll get like hate tweets like, oh, so there's your best player on the team. Oh, well,
what the hell?
I mean,
Matt is like, come to me, I will love you.
Yes.
How many hate tweets today, Rod, get? It doesn't matter.
No, I understand that it doesn't matter, but I don't understand the delusion of saying Ian Kinsler is... Ian Kinsler's at worst their second best player. I mean, it's... Take your pick between him or Hamilton.
The only thing you get for him is defense.
Hamilton, I don't know why they keep putting him in center field.
He's among the top three second basemen, I would say, in the majors. With, Cano and Pedroia, I mean...
Oh, absolutely.
Before Utley got injured, I put him there, but... Yeah,
Zobrist
is very good too.
Zobrist, Phillips.
I see him everywhere, so I never really considered Zobrist a second baseman.
Yeah.
He just plays everywhere. He's like a fantasy player's dream because, you can really just shuffle him anywhere.
I think Michael Kadire takes the fantasy player's dream. I think he was like one start short of having second base eligibility, and that would give him like first, third, outfield, and second.
I remember that's getting
towards face level value.
Bonifacio is pretty good too, shortstop, third.
Yeah,
he's young. He can play every position terribly. He's like Bill Hall,
except he's better than Beltre. So.
There you go.
He's not just equal to Beltre. He's actually better than Beltre.
Oh, the Mets are starting to regress.
That's a shock.
And no one is surprised.
No.
Although Ike Davis seems to be turning it around, which is good. I like Ike Davis a lot.
I do too. I actually really hope he does well, and I hope the Mets medical staff do not kill him.
Valley fever. Catch it.
Yeah, jeez.
And, only a Met would catch
that. I was going to say, that's the most Mets thing ever. You come down with Valley fever.
No. There's so many Mets things. I mean, Michael Pelfrey actually pitching well, possible, trade value, Tommy John surgery. That's the Met way. That truly is the Met way, I think.
They do have Jonathan Nies going for him, though. I mean,
he pitched awful today.
And Johan's been bossing, too.
He really has. That's surprising to me.
Their starting pitching was doing well at the beginning of the year, and then, Pelfrey got injured. But yeah, Nice is... I like Nice. He's another Met I like. He didn't do anything for me tonight, fantasy-wise, but, you know...
Bryce Harper has brought his douchiness to the majors.
Good for him.
Has everyone seen the video of him playing softball in Washington?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
I have not actually seen that.
Well, I'll send it to you after. If there's any reason to read a site like Deadspin, their commenters are just absolutely brilliant.
I love Deadspin.
They're playing obviously in front of the Washington Monument, and one of their commenters says something to the extent of, now that he's up in the majors, he's paying tribute to the Washington Monument by acting like a 555-foot dick.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't care about all the Harper narratives about what a dick he may or may not be. He's awesome to watch. He's must-see TV.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, yeah.
He just does everything.
Except I can't see.
Oh, that's right. Are we going to get into this?
Masson.
We might.
All right.
We might.
Just finally on the Mets, before we move on to our Yankee Mitri of the week, I also like Kirk Nieuwenhuis. I think he's fun to watch. I think he could possibly be a decent player.
And Lucas Duda, he's a decent player, and Daniel Murphy can kind of hit, can't play defense very well, but...
Yeah, but then that's the Mets. All right, so on to our next segment, which is our Yankee and Mitre of the Week. Waffles, we'll start with you. Who is your Yankee of the Week?
I went with Derek Jeter.
Solid choice.
He kind of had a little slumpy something in there.
I think it was two games of slump.
Yeah. But he's been doing really well, and I wish we could face him against lefties all the time, because he would hit like 800 or something. Yeah. Jeter.
All right. Duggan, your Yankee of the Week.
Kuroda.
Good choice. All right.
He pitched well.
That he did. That he did. Jedi, do you have a Yankee of the Week?
Yeah, I'll go a little bit different for mine, though. Just Tyler Austin down in Charleston.
That's fine.
If you haven't had a chance to see what he's doing down there, it's incredible. He's doing what we kind of hope Gary Sanchez would do, plus some. It's incredible the way he's hitting right now. I don't want to see them break up that Charleston team too quickly, but at some point, he's tearing it up.
Not before June! Not before June!
I have a voice telling me that they can't break that team up until June, so...
Alright.
Yes.
And while we're on the Charleston thing really quickly, I guess Cecil Culver's grandfather died, so he's left the team for a couple days. He's actually back here in Rochester.
That's too bad. All right, my Yankee of the Week is Nick Swisher. Again, I think he's been seeing the ball pretty well, hitting. It's really a shame he got injured. I will miss his smile, his bats, and I really miss his defense in the outfield, because that means Raul Banez has to be out there. We could devote a whole podcast to how terrible he is. But that's my Yankee of the Week. So, Waffles, who is your Mitre of the Week?
Phil Hughes.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the results were not as bad tonight. But I feel like he has to be on notice.
Yeah, that game against the Rangers did not go well.
The Rangers game was awful. And with Andy Pettit getting closer and closer, if Phelps is still good, then... I really think that Hughes has to get better, or it's bullpen time.
Okay. Duggan, your Mitre of the Week.
I'll take Cano, because he's slumping. And I would like him to not do that anymore.
It would be nice, yes. I prefer hitting Cano. And better fielding Cano as well. Alright, Jedi, do you have a Mitre of the Week?
I'll go the obvious route and just say Freddy. Just stop with Freddy. Someone needs to give that man a hug, but no one will because he's sweaty. So,
Yeah, no, he is also my Mitrae of the week, because I had to watch him live, and it's not pleasant at all. And I honestly don't even agree with putting him in the bullpen, because he can't give two innings of without giving up runs, so I don't even see what purpose he serves there, and I do not trust Girardi not to put him in close games, because he likes getting bullpen people work, so...
Is he now in the goddamn Mitrae territory?
Oh,
where
he
you're
is.
Where you're afraid that if he's in the pen, he will pitch a meaningful inning somewhere down the road?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's in that category, which is...
Unless we leave out Scott Proctor, we can't ever forget. Oh, Scott Proctor pitching meaningful innings last season.
I booed him.
Well, who wouldn't?
He's gotten booed. But, all right, so let's move into the minors report. Waffles, do you have anything to talk about with the now minor experts here with you?
Well, like Matt kind of said, Tyler Austin is just killing the Sally League. He has 9 home runs, which is the most there. He's just kind of been ridiculous. And Gary Sanchez has been hitting well, but can we talk about what he's doing on defense, people? It's bad.
Someone else jump in here. I don't know.
He has 8
Matt
errors.
For you.
I think Matt died.
Did we lose Jedi?
I think we did.
Oh.
Yep. Oh, yep. There he went. Anyway, Gary Sanchez has 8 errors, which is real tough. Just because I was hoping that last year was kind of an anomaly for him on defense, but he is not inspiring anything good there so far this year.
All right, I think we got Matt back, so...
I don't know what was happening there. I'm guessing I picked up the tail end of what was being talked about there. I'm guessing we're talking about the fact that Gary has been a train wreck on defense so far.
Yep.
We have so many people have such high hopes for him on defense, and that this is definitely not helping things. I was hoping last year was, like she said, an anomaly with all those pass balls, but he's making a ton of throwing errors this year.
He has no home runs, which is weird.
Well, that's troubling. Anyone else in the minors impressing down there?
Well, not impressing. Dante Bichette has 6 errors and only 2 extra base hits.
Oh.
So that's not...
So it's more been depressing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How is how do you pronounce it?
Batanzas.
Thank
Ducklin?
You.
Ducklin.
Ducklin.
Yeah, sure, that works.
Well, I don't know. I'm guessing he'll probably pitch one of the next couple games up here. Supposedly Manny was supposed to come off the disabled list and pitch either today. It was supposed to pitch tomorrow, but I haven't seen anything looking ahead to what their rotation is set up like. I saw Batanzas a couple weeks ago, and it's the same old story with him. He just has no command of his fastball. The off-speed stuff is great. He can freeze hitters with that, but he's constantly working from behind, so he doesn't get a chance to throw it that often. The off-speed stuff is put-away pitch, so if he can't get ahead with his fastball, it basically becomes a useless tool for him. And I don't know how much longer they're going to give him. This is really like a make or break. This is the make or break year for him. It's either show us that you can finally grasp your mechanics and get command of your fastball, or it's either trade bait or he's going to be stuck in the bullpen.
Yeah, no, that's a shame. I mean, there were such high hopes for him, but look, the Yankees are one for, you know, pumping up certain prospects over others. So.
Well, he has electric stuff. It's just that it plays up better at the lower levels where he can completely overmatch hitters who may never see anywhere close to AAA, if not even AA. So,
would you say it's close to like how Phil Hughes was? Or Because I know Phil Hughes supposedly dominated.
No, I would say it's different from Hughes only because Hughes was actually able to produce at the higher levels, the minors as well. If anything, it's a lesser version. It's a far lesser version of Brackman's wildness.
Ah.
He can still actually get people out and like make it through innings where Brackman will just walk the park and throw 40 pitches in an inning and have to come out.
Ouch. All right,
yeah.
Well, he's still doing that. He's doing it for the Reds too. So enjoy that. Enjoy that, Cincinnati. It's, I had to sit in the freezing cold and watch Brackman live. So I'm not sad to see him go.
Yeah, you know, like I said, like I had to watch Garcia live, and it was not a warm game in the slightest. So
it just, and that's why I want to see DJ do well. It was 38 degrees the night he pitched, and he pitched a sub 2 hour shutout.
There you go.
That was ridiculous.
More power to you, DJ. You saved me from being completely miserable.
I think DJ will be really good, like, in this role. Because in this role, you want someone who's going to keep the ball in the infield and throw strikes. And DJ throws a lot of sinkers, and he throws them in the zone. So
it's that second time ball. It's the second time through for him. Once they get through the second time, that's when they start hitting the ball harder and sending people back to the track. Which is kind of what happened to Adam Warren tonight. He's got a lot of like Robertson tendencies where he just gets deep into counts and ends up throwing 20, 25 pitches an inning. So I don't know how much more rope they're going to give him as a starter. I think he's got enough stuff where he could possibly be a contributor out of the pen down the road. Obviously, it's early. Yeah. For that. He's not even on the 40 yet, so there's plenty of time with him.
That's good.
His off speed stuff looked excellent tonight, but he did have a lot of hard hit balls right at people and deep fly balls to the track. But luckily, they have some pretty good outfielders out there.
We could use some.
Yeah, Dwayne Wise. The only run that Warren gave up was a double that Dwayne Wise slipped on. He looked like he had a beat on it, but he slipped in his initial break and ended up rolling to the track.
I'm curious, have you seen... I saw someone posted pictures of the new park that's going up for Scranton. Did you see them?
Yeah, I saw Donnie Collins had those up a couple days ago. The renderings look incredible. It's crazy to think that's going to be a minor league park.
Yeah, it looks really nice. I mean,
where they're playing now in Rochester, I guess they constantly have like the minor league all-star game there because it's one of the best parks in the country as far as minor league baseball is concerned, and it's a great park, but if PNC turns out to be anything like the renderings, it's just going to be a palace.
Only the best for the Yankees, I suppose.
Yes, only the best for the Kevin Russos and Craig Tatums of the world.
Well, when you say it like that, ouch.
I'm sorry, Scranton's a little bit depressing this year. It's amazing what losing Montero from Scranton did. There's really no one there that with, I guess, like Steve Pierce, but
yeah,
he's obviously not really a prospect, but there's no one to really get excited about in that batting order. It's all about the pitching down there, and now they've lost two of their starters there, so now it's Ramon Ortiz and Michael O'Connor getting spot starts.
Well, that's fun.
I was about to say, there you go.
Did Austin Romine die?
I mean... That's got to be a concern. Russell Martin, I think... I'm wondering if Russ is just taking the year off knowing that Romine's not there to take his spot for a cheaper option. He's like, I can just slack off this year and still get the contract because they have no one left.
I haven't heard anything about him. And I mean, I know they said that he was going to miss the beginning of the season, but
we're in May now.
I didn't know that it meant like months.
We haven't heard anything except like beyond the fourth day of spring training when it was like, oh, he tweaked his back.
And yeah, I don't remember.
Two and a half months later, we still haven't seen Romine near the field.
Yeah, I mean, I remember in spring training they seemed to imply that there was a decent chance that he would come back before the end of spring training.
Yeah, there was, and then he had a setback, and they were like, oh, okay, he's going to miss the beginning of the season, so we need to trade Contos for Chris Stewart, and then that's the last that I've heard.
Stewart Cole's a good game.
How are things going with Cervelli?
He looks pretty good behind the plate. They're giving him a lot of chances to show that he's improved his defense. Especially Waylon tonight. Waylon was spiking a lot of pitches in the dirt. And credit to Cervelli. He never let any of them get past him. None of the runners advanced. Nearly picked off Ben Revere over at first, just on a quick throwdown. Ben Revere tried to lay down a sack bunt to get somebody over. Cervelli got out of his crouch really quickly as soon as he dropped the bunt down and was able to get him at first. And anybody that knows anything about Ben Revere, he's one of the faster players in baseball. So yeah. Credit to Cervelli. It seems like he's turning it around at the plate. All the stuff about him pouting and being miserable to be down there, he seems like he's getting adapted to it and starting to come around.
You know what's actually funny is when I was at the game Saturday, they were making fun of Swisher in one of the, you know, going to, you know, break things they show on the Yankee Giant screen. Cervelli's still there. So they haven't replaced some of those. I was like, why is Cervelli there? Oh, yeah. Awkward.
Did you see Cashman in the bleachers by any chance?
I did not, no.
Can he stop doing that hair thing with the skull and with the Lost Boys bandana that he constantly does? That needs to stop.
He has it always looks like he has frosted tips or something.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like they're not going to cast you. There's not going to be a remake.
He looks like Justin Timberlake, circa 2000.
Did you just say there's not going to be a remake of The Lost Boys?
I don't know. I know there was a sequel. They better not be remaking that.
They'll remake it. They're remaking everything.
I'm still trying to get over the fact that they're going to remake Slapshot, and that's inexcusable to me.
They're remaking Total Recall.
I mean,
that movie is perfect. Perfect.
So who plays the character that all the guys want to know? You know exactly where I'm coming from this, don't you?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so now he's finally now he's gotten it too.
Yeah, I mean, who plays that character?
It's paper mache, but no one cares.
It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Oh, God.
I'll just sit here.
Oh, you're so deprived, Waffles. I mean, these are timeless classics we're talking about here. Ugh, but... All right, I guess that's it for the minors, unless you have anything else you guys want to bring up.
The last thing that I had was that Nick Turley is doing extremely well.
I want to bring up Dwayne Wise. Does that count?
Yes, that absolutely.
Melky Mace is hitting, which is weird.
Jedi, tell us about Dwayne Wise and why I kind of want to see him as an outfielder on the Yankees at this point in time.
He's not Raul Ibanez.
Yes.
That's it.
That's really the only reason. I mean, Dwayne Wise, if there's anything he can do, he can play defense. He's never been much of a hitter in the majors. It's kind of like the thing that we dealt with last year with Jorge Vasquez, where you're just trying to catch lightning in a bottle at this point and just tide you over until Gardner comes back and Swisher comes back. So, worst comes to worst, maybe he actually performs well enough where you can... I don't know, maybe you can get a second lefty for him in a trade. Who knows? There's always somebody out there, like the Phillies. They're willingly playing Juan Pierre, so who knows what they would do.
They hate Don Brown so much.
Yeah, they should
much.
Give him to us for
I would take Don
nothing.
Brown.
But the thing is, isn't the point of Dwayne Wise to be organizational depth so that when something shitty happens, we can play him? But
pretty
he has
much.
No real value. Like, him hitting well and playing good defense for our AAA team does us nothing, but it's kind of like, well, if shit hits the fan, we have Dwayne Wise kind of stashed away and we can play it. Like, shit hits the fan. Swisher and Gardner are both hurt. Like, this is the reason that we have him.
We're throwing out Raul Ibanez in the outfield and Nunez, who has never played the outfield, yet still looks somewhat more decent than Raul Ibanez. So, yeah, no, we're at DEPCOM 5 here or something. This is terrible.
Every time someone wants to defend Joe Girardi, I'm just like, he thinks Raul Ibanez is an okay person to put in the outfield.
It's laughable.
That's it. That's all you need to know. Like
you have to keep RBI guys like him in the lineup.
Veterans.
Yes,
veteran presence.
Clubhouse guys. And I'm sure Raul Banias is a perfectly fine human being. I mean, he's hideous, but I guess he's like probably nice to like children or something. But
is he?
I don't know. He just shouldn't be in the outfield.
Well, he's not nice to children because he makes me want to punt babies when I watch him play the outfield. So by proxy, he's a horrible person to children.
Yes.
Yep.
No, I agree with that. Yep. It makes me want to hit children in the face when I see him dive for balls and then turn into triples or miss easily catchable balls. So I think this is like the fourth or fifth time in this podcast where we've somehow transitioned.
Yeah, how does this happen?
Terrible, Raul Banias.
That's how big of an issue it is.
I can't believe that a platoon DH is just a constant talking point, and it's all because of how he's used. It's
Yeah.
He should never see the outfield again.
No.
And
there are people on PSA who claim to be legitimately shocked.
Oh,
and it's like, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love that. It's like, I didn't think Girardi would put him in the outfield. It's like, really? Because
I knew he would.
100% guaranteed it that he would have.
He's left 100%. He put Clay Rapata in, and he's doing it more often now. He's leaving Clay Rapata in against right-handers. And
it's just disaster waiting to happen.
Again, this is a man who shuffled out Sergio Mitre in close games.
Yeah.
Chad got in.
Yeah, he loves getting
in. And willingly brought them back more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's downright sickening.
Anybody remember when somebody said that Mitre was actually a better option for the rotation than Nova? This exists. Go search for it if you haven't seen it. People listening, just search Mitre and Ivan Nova rotation. Yeah, this exists.
God, that is a thing.
Oh.
I mean, I can't get into specifics here. I can't get into specifics here, but I mean, that was kind of a thing tonight. Okay, I'm just.
The Yankees need a second ace of spades. That's all they need.
Or ace of base.
They
could use their 90s techno to pump us up. I don't think... Does anyone here actually know who ace of base is?
I saw your sign.
All right. There you go. All right. Jedi, I love you on the podcast. You're bringing knowledge and
90s Yeah, I grew up in the 90s.
All right.
With the ace of base on bad FM radio.
I guess Doug and I are too young.
Yeah. Nothing makes me like sad. I'm only 24, but it makes me sad that songs off Pearl Jam's 10 album are now making it on classic rock stations.
Oh, I know.
Well, that's horrifying to me.
So much. I'm hearing like, oh wow, yeah, no. Like I would say Pearl Jam songs I'm hearing on Q104.3. I'm like, wow. That's horrifying. But, alright, well, now that we've gotten into how old and how young we are, I think that pretty much wraps it up for this podcast. The only thing we really didn't talk about is the Michael Pineda thing, and you know, which happened technically last week, and that's really because I don't want to talk about it anymore. I mean, do you? I think everyone's, you know, the Cashman blame, or... You know, he's terrible.
We hardly knew you.
Exactly. You know, that whole thing.
I mean, I'm so sick of hearing, like, damaged goods and all that. It's just like,
he
should have
known
it.
The Mariners gypped us, that kind of stuff. I was like, listen, it's baseball. This happens.
Yes, GMZ put one over on Cashman.
The Mariners GM, you know, is a wily beast. And he put the moves on Brian Cashman. You know, successful Brian Cashman.
Oh, and he's done it multiple times, just like with the Cliff Lee deal, when he voluntarily backed out for a different trade.
Which I still applaud. I still applaud us not giving up at least we gave up Montero for a possible future starter. I didn't think Cliff Lee was staying with us afterwards, so...
Yeah, there would have been the same level of outrage if Cliff Lee had left the Yankees.
Yeah.
After 2010 anyways.
Especially if he didn't win us a championship. It's like, oh, well, that trade was useless.
Yeah.
I would have been real upset.
Yes.
I didn't want Clifton Pfeiffer on my team anyway.
When's the lacrosse game, bro?
Hunter, Shane, yes. Cole.
Yeah, that's the Phillies, Ty and Chase.
Yeah, that's Dance. Ridiculous. They have like a whole lacrosse team of like douchebaggy names.
Chad.
Yeah, Chad. I don't
Chad,
like
Kyle. They have Chad Qualls.
Roy.
Kyle.
Lance.
Yeah, Lance Nix.
Well, no, that one is just really douchey because
he spells it with a Y.
Well, the mother did that, and they did it for his brother too.
Yeah, Jason.
Jason.
Yeah, Jason Nix.
Uh-huh.
Why do that to a child? Why not a simple name like, you know, Greg? You know, that speaks volumes.
I want a team full of guys named Eddie. A team would never lose.
I always try to draft Greg Jennings in football simply because, well, one, he's pretty decent with Aaron Rodgers out there.
And he puts the team on his back.
Yes. And no. Two, his name is
For Greg. Mad.
Wish you could have a whole fantasy team of Gregs somehow.
But, well, I mean, my name, you know, I have plenty of people with my name.
Of course.
I've always wanted to draft an NBA fantasy team of all white players.
I know someone at work who did.
You could probably win a league with a team like that. Steve Nash, Nowitzki.
Someone actually did it with football.
Put Scalabrini on your bench.
Someone did it with football too, but drafted Arian Foster and called his team the Arian Nation.
Yes. Actually, he was in a league like that too. The Texans fan who named his team the Arian Nation.
All right. Well, we've thrown a bit of racism in this podcast. I think this has been a success. What do you guys think?
Always.
Always. All right.
If you can end on an Arian Nation joke, I think that's usually a good to leave it on.
Yeah, I think we'll end there. So, this is it for this episode of the Pinstripe Alley podcast. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, What Would Jeter Do, Lord Duggan, and newest co-host for the time being anyway, or at least this podcast, Jedi Master A-Rod. Again, Duggan, that's not a mouthful to say. I don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, I'm giving you a raise. You know, I forgot all the extra stuff, like, you know,
email
to,
us.
Yeah, email us at the Pinstripe Alley, or
we won't check it.
Pinstripe.
Don't
Alley
email
podcast.
Me. I don't care.
Oh no, we have a specific email we don't check. Pinstripe Alley Podcast@gmail.com. You can throw us a comment in the comments section, the PSA, or you can, for some reason, whatever, subscribe to our blog at PinstripeAlleyPodcast.blogspot.com. So, again, I'm giving you a raise. Thanks for listening. You know what? I'm going to throw a shout-out here. Go, Yankees, go. You are number one.